Okay, so my name is Savannah Stevens, and I'm 15 years old, and today is
Thanksgiving
Thanksgiving
eleven
2017.
1123.
Oh, 1123. And I'm speaking with Tamara Atkinson, who is my grandmother, and we are in Hurricane, Utah. And she is 71 years old. Okay, so she was just telling me about the handkerchief that she used. And go.
Well, when we were young, they didn't have Kleenexes. You used toilet tissue if you had a cold. But when you went out places, you had handkerchiefs, and the ones for church were embroidered and crocheted around the edges, and they were very beautiful. And men always carried big handkerchiefs in their back pocket, and if they were on the farm, they used the red and white, red and black, and the blue and black handkerchiefs, and they'd always pull them out of their pocket or their overalls to blow their nose. But if you got a cold, then your mom had these big handkerchiefs, or sometimes she would cut up a t-shirt or a sheet, and you'd have to blow your nose in that. And then she would soak, after you got better, she would soak all those rags in Clorox and stuff.
And you'd reuse
And
them?
then she'd wash them again, wash them and dry them on the clothesline, and you'd use them again the next time you got sick.
Huh.
So they didn't have a disposable era when I was young. So
Huh.
I thought that was interesting. But
Yeah.
anyway, my name's Tamara. Sorensen is my maiden name, and it's Atkinson now. And I was born March 9th, 1946, and I'm now 71. But
Still looking young. And still looking young.
I wish. But I was had an interesting child life because my dad owned a dry farm up in southern Idaho. And so a dry farm is where they plant the grain and the barley and the wheat, but they don't irrigate it because we didn't have water out there. So
Why didn't you have water?
we just had wells, and we finally, when they first had it out there was no electricity. But when I was young, they had electricity, and we had to go to the bathroom in an outhouse. But anyway, so we would live out there in the summer, come home on weekends to go to our church, and my mom would do laundry and take care of a huge garden and her flower beds. And then Monday morning, we'd drive out to the farm and we'd stay there all week. And we did have a hired man that helped my dad. But it was fun because my favorite thing to do was make mud pies. And on the tractor, it had this really fine dirt that would gather there from the dust, and so I made awesome mud pies. But we had horses out there, and
Did you ever
my
ride them?
oh yeah, we rode them a lot. And my mom would let I had a brother who's 5 years older, and once a month she'd let him bring a friend, and then for a week, and then the end of the month I got to bring a friend for a week. So we had friends to play with, but then of course we'd play with them when we got home. And the grade school I went to was right across the street from my house, and it was called the Ellis School. And after I got in about third grade, my mom worked in the lunchroom as one of the cooks. So it was fun to have my mom there.
You enjoyed having her there?
Yeah.
Nowadays, not a lot of kids like having their parents there because, like, your friends are there. Was that never a problem?
No, and it was lovely because then she had a little bit of extra money,
Oh, yeah.
and she would let me have some of it to buy nicer clothes. And she all in the we had our chickens out on the farm, and then in the winter we'd bring them in, and a neighbor down the street had a chicken coop she let us rent, and we would go down and gather the eggs, and then my mom would sell them. And so she had a little can of coins in the corner cupboard, but we never took that money unless we had permission. You just didn't,
No one even tested the boundaries. It was just a no.
it was just a given that, you know, but she was very generous. And we had two little markets in our neighborhood that sold tons of penny candy. You could buy 5 pieces of candy for a penny. And so she would let me take a nickel out of that and go
buy penny candy. Oh, so you get like 20 pieces of candy just for a penny or a nickel?
Not 20, maybe 2 for a penny, something like that.
2 for a penny, because my mom said that she had penny candies, whereas a candy per penny, where now they're like $2.
Yeah, when your mom was little, I think they were a penny for one piece, but we'd get 2 or 3 pieces for a penny. We'd go to movies, but we had to walk, most generally, and my friends and I would go to the movies, and I think they were 15 cents for a ticket, and we would go on Saturday afternoon.
Well, yesterday we went to the movies, and for 7 people, it was $60.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous now. And I think the tickets here are $8, and in California, they're what, like 12 or 15?
Yeah, they're ridiculous. And then the waters are like $6 per water. Did you guys just use tap water? Because my mom said that she didn't have like...
No, they didn't have bottled water when your mom was young or when I was young. But the water was excellent water, so, yeah. You know, and...
So there was no need.
And if you went somewhere, you took a canteen. But anyway, I enjoyed school when I was young. But then when I got older, I wasn't a very good student, so I didn't like school that much. Mm. But my friends and I, we loved to play games, and we called them night games. And the whole neighborhood would get together, and we'd play Run Sheep Run or Kick the Can or.
Is that? Kick the can, is that where you actually kick it? Because I've never actually been... So you just kick it.
You'd have teams, and there'd be a can set out on the
sidewalk. Like soccer.
Huh?
Like soccer?
No, it'd just be set out on the street. And then you'd all scatter and hide in a team. And then you'd try and sneak up without the other team seeing you. Because if they saw you and touched you, then you were out. But if you could sneak up and kick the can, then your team would win.
It sounds a lot more interesting now that you described it. I thought it was just two kids kicking cans.
But my friend and I, sometimes they would put this tar in the middle of the road in a big mound to resurface the street. And of course it's rocks and tar. And we would play in it. And we'd go in, our mothers would die because we'd be covered with tar. But they had these little lamps that they'd light so people didn't run into it. And they looked like cannonballs. Huh?
Isn't tar flammable?
Well, these were little lamps that just had that people could see and not run into it. But they looked like little bombs, and they had the fire. And we would play outside at night, just me and her.
It was never dangerous, right?
Probably.
Probably.
And we lived close to the railroad tracks, and we'd go down and put pennies on the railroad tracks so that the trains could flatten them. And you had to be careful because there were hobos and stuff, so if we saw somebody, we'd run home. We just lived two blocks away from the railroad tracks. But something that I always remembered that I loved my mother for and I thought was really interesting is back in those days, the Native Americans were put on reservations, Indian reservations, and they weren't allowed to leave, and they just lived in poverty. I don't think they let them off to work or anything, but at Thanksgiving and Christmas, they would bring them by buses over to our town, Logan, Utah, and they would come around.
Oh, so you lived in Logan?
I lived in Logan. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Like, you were born in Logan, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was the only one of my family that was born in Logan. The rest were born in Hiram.
Wait, is that still in Utah?
Mm-hmm. You know, you've been over there to the cemetery and the Hiram Dam, haven't you, when you've been up in Logan, maybe?
Oh, so it's just still near Logan?
Yeah, it's just 20 miles south of Logan.
Okay.
But anyway, about...
And weren't you... You're the youngest, right?
Yeah. But about the Indians.
Oh, yeah, They were... The Christmas Thanksgiving.
What,
You brought them over on trains?
No, they brought them over on buses.
Buses.
When they'd let them off and they'd go in pairs and they'd go around in the neighborhoods and go door to door to and beg for food. It was so sad for them. Just so sad.
Really?
And people thought that they were gross and dirty and had diseases, which they didn't. They didn't. But anyway, my mom was just such a kind, beautiful woman. And this grandma and her grandson came to our house. And so mom filled their bag up. And I think they were like pillowcases that they brought up with canned food and stuff. Well, she happened to be making chili and some rolls for our lunch that day. Mm-hmm. And so she told them that they could, that she, if they wanted to, she'd feed them. And they were so excited. But they sat on the ditch. We had ditches that the water would run in that we'd irrigate our gardens with.
Mm-hmm. And they, but I thought you said you didn't have water.
That's on the farm.
Oh, so you're living in a different place now.
Yeah, this is my home in Logan where we lived in the winter and I went to school. So in the summer, we lived on the dry farm out in Idaho.
Did your dad own the farm? So did he, like, always live there?
Yeah, it was his father's.
Oh.
He inherited it from his father.
So did your parents live, like, split up or something, or did he commute? I'm kind of confused about this.
We would go out on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And we would stay there until Friday afternoon, and then we would drive home, and we'd drive back to Logan. And then my mom would do the laundry and take care of her garden, and we would go to our church services.
So you spent the majority of your life, your early life, on your farm?
No, in town, in Logan, because when the farm work was over and the crops were harvested, all the grain was cut... Then we would stay in Logan to go to school, because that's where we went to school.
Yeah, okay.
And then my dad, he and our hired man would go out, and they would plant the wheat for the next year.
Your hired man, like your gardener, kind of?
No, he helped my dad. He would run different tractors and pieces of equipment, and when they cut the grain, somebody would have to run the combine, and another person would run the truck to... And you'd put the wheat in the truck, and then they'd either drive it over to Malad and sell it at the granary, or they would put it in our own granary to sell later in the year. But anyway, we lived in Logan and went to school. So most of my life was spent in Logan, because we were there, 9 months out of the year, we lived in Logan. And then in the summer, for the 3 months, we'd go back and forth.
Okay. And then you said on the weekends, you went to the farm, right? Or on the weekends, you stayed in Logan, and then weekdays.
You went to the farm. That was just during the summer.
Fine. Okay. Give me a second. And go again.
They were from the Washakie Indian tribe. Washakie, Washakie Indian tribe. But anyway, like I said, my mother was cooking chili and she invited the grandma and her grandson to eat. And
was that like uncommon, like normally?
Very uncommon. Very uncommon. Because they were treated like I said, like they were diseased. They were just treated horribly. Huh. It's so nice that they're treated much better. Anyway, so my mom took him out, and I helped her. I was young. I was probably maybe 9 or 10. And then the grandma, she didn't speak much English, but the little boy did. And he asked
her. Wait, what language did they speak?
Their Native American language. Native American, each tribe has their own language. They can't talk to each other because they have their own language, each Indian tribe.
Oh, I didn't know that because all the Native Americans now,
Still speak in their native language, but they also speak English.
Huh.
But a lot of the older ones, the grandparents, they still speak in their Native American language.
Well, if she was a grandma when you were young, then that means she was like...
She, well, you know, when you're a kid, everybody, I'd say she was maybe in her 60s. Okay, but 60s,
so
maybe?
Considering now that you're 71 and then she was 60, that was a long time ago. So it was probably like when Native Americans were first being like...
They were kept on their reservations and only let off at certain times, like I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Anyway, the little boy asked if his grandma could use the bathroom, which was, you know, most Americans wouldn't let him in their house. So my mom was so kind. She let her come in and use the restroom. And then, because of what we'd heard, she got Lysol out and everything and disinfected it after they left. Because that's what we'd heard about him. And it was so untrue. But I always remember that story because my mom was, I'm going to cry, so kind. She was so kind and giving to everybody. And so when I was raised, you know how some people are so prejudiced in my era?
Yeah.
Very prejudiced against Hispanics. And the first time I ever saw a black person is when I went to Ogden. There were no black people in Ogden.
When you went to Ogden, you were what?
I was probably, I don't know, younger than 12. I don't remember. But they had Negroes. We call them Negroes, but they're blacks now.
Yeah.
But they were Negroes, and they worked on the railroad, and there was a big railroad station in Ogden. And that's where I first saw my first Negro. And I was just so surprised. But my mother never, she was not prejudiced. She never said, oh, they're such and such. Don't, you know, we need to be afraid her. And so I grew up never having any kind of prejudices, which was lovely because so many people that grew up in my era were so prejudiced against anybody of a different race. So
I can imagine.
Anyway, but I liked, when I was in school, we played hopscotch, and I was a hopscotch champion at one time. And I love tetherball, and we play tetherball. And on the weekends, we go over to the school and climb on the, we call them monkey bars, the gym bars, and would swing and go up and play by the canal. The pioneers dug canals to bring water from the river down into the valley. And then we had little ditches that would run by our, and we'd play in the ditches and build dams. And in the fall, my friend had this huge yard with a big tree. And when the leaves fell, we made leaf houses. And we'd make front rooms with couches and kitchens with stoves. And we'd take our dolls out and play them and go visit each. Every day after school, we'd go down and play in our leaf houses.
So, like, with your friends, how it's kind of, like, different from now? Like, How did you, like, make most of your friends? Like, was it, like, just through school, or, like, did your parents kind of arrange
it? My friend Luann, we met when we were three years old.
Oh,
and
okay.
We've been friends ever since. And
still are?
She still lives in Logan, and every time I go to Logan, I go see her. And then in school, I met my second best friend named Kathy Palmer, and she just lived around the street. But the reason I didn't know her that well is because she didn't go to my church. Her mom was a member of my church, but her dad wasn't. But then after she met me and Luann, then she would come to our church. And so we did lots of fun things with our church groups and stuff. And we'd go, in the summer, the girls would go up to these cabins in Logan Canyon, and it was called Girls Camp, and we'd stay there for 5 days, and they had little cabins and bunk beds that we'd sleep in, and we'd cook outside, and we'd go on hikes and stuff. So that was fun. But you were probably started when you were 13 in what they call young women's, or in my church.
And then, were they the friends that you brought to the farm for, like, your week where you got to bring people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were the two. I don't think there was anybody. I mean, I had friends from school, but my parents didn't know their parents. And so they had to know the parents so that the parents knew my mom and dad well enough to think. Because, I mean, we were a 2-hour drive away from Logan. And so they nobody would let their kids go that many days and that far away unless they knew the parents pretty well.
Yeah, it's still kind of like that now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else, or should I ask questions now?
Well, I got the chicken pox.
Me too.
And then they had come out with a polio vaccine, and our school did the trial of polio shots. And I can't remember
the
how
trial?
Many.
The trial?
Yeah, they would give some kids a sugar shot and the other kids the polio vaccine.
They used you as guinea pigs?
We were guinea pigs. And they would,
Was there any, like, laws against using children
no,
as guinea pigs?
No, not back then.
You just
but anyway,
injected children.
I, of course, got the sugar. So after the trial was over, I had to go back and get the real shots.
Oh.
And when we were little, there was a disease called smallpox.
Oh, yeah.
And so you had to have a vaccine for smallpox. And it left a big, you can barely see it, a big scar on your arm.
Huh.
And it would be a big scab, and then after 2 weeks, it would fall off. But smallpox was a horrible disease. And
did you ever get it or no?
No, because I had the vaccine.
Yeah, and it worked.
And polio was awful. I had friends in school that got polio, and it was just awful. It was awful for them. And we're like all kids. We made fun of them because they walked funny or they, you know, little kids are mean. And I was the meanest of my friends.
Really?
Because I'm the youngest in the family and I was really spoiled. And so I was mean. But the other thing, this is really interesting, I think. Every single week we cleaned our house from top to bottom. And my mom, my little tiny mom, she was only 4 feet tall.
Wait,
she was
4 feet tall.
4'10", just under 5 feet. She was tiny.
Like four feet.
And she would be in the kitchen. She made homemade bread. She made desserts for dinner on Sunday. I mean, she cooked all day. She made what we were going to eat, like soups or chilies or something. And my sister, she was 10 years older than me. And we'd start at the top of the house. We'd take all the sheets off the bed and put clean sheets on. We'd vacuum. Well, we didn't have carpet. We'd use mops and dust all the things off. Then we cleaned all the bathroom, scrubbed the tub and the toilet. And I got to vacuum the stair steps.
Did you have carpeted stair steps?
I had carpeted stair steps. And then we'd clean the downstairs and... we did have carpet there, and we'd vacuum, and I always got to dust, and to this day, I despise dusting furniture. I despise it. And so, but every week, we cleaned that house top to bottom, and in the spring, we had spring cleaning, and we'd haul all the mattresses down to the yard, and we'd beat them with a broom to get the dust out, and then you had metal springs on the bed, and you'd haul them down and dust them and spray them off in the hose.
You took the metal springs off the bed
and carried them downstairs.
Like the full frame, or just like the springs each?
Well, the springs didn't have a cover over them like they do now. It was just metal springs, and we'd carry them. And then we had.
Did you ever try and fight like cleaning, or was it just like the money jar? It's just something you did.
We did it every spring. I mean, it was called spring house cleaning. And we'd take the curtains off the windows and wash them. And they had this pink stuff you put on the windows. And then when it dried, you'd rub it off and your windows were cleaned. And you...
Never learned what it was called? Just the pink stuff?
I can't remember. Pink window cleaner. I don't know. But my mom was very clean. I mean, she'd scrub the kitchen floor after she got through cooking, and on her hands and knees.
Dang.
And we had one little, just a toilet and a sink off the kitchen, and she usually cleaned that, or me and my sister. But we had a dining room table that we sat at for Sunday dinners, and I got to go under there and dust all the legs and the legs of the chairs.
Because you were like the smallest.
My house was tiny. We had seven people in my house.
How many siblings
did
you have?
Five. Four.
How many boys and girls?
One brother and three sisters.
And then plus you. Oh, okay.
My mom and dad.
Did your brother have to clean too?
He did. He mowed the lawn and shoveled the snow. Mm. But I don't remember him ever cleaning. But and my older sisters, there were two beds in a bedroom in the basement, and that's where they shared a room.
And did you have your own room?
No. Then my sister, that's 10 years older than me, she had a bedroom upstairs. And then my parents had a bed, and then they had a twin bed that my brother slept in, and then I slept in the crib. However, every time when my oldest sister, she's 18 years older than me, so I could have been her daughter, actually, you know.
Wait, okay, so your oldest sister was Jude?
Valoy,
and she's 18 years older, and then the second
dad? Renee.
Renee, and she's 10 years, and then...
She's...
was she the 10-year-old or the...
13 years older, and then my sister Joy, that I was closest to, is 10 years older. And then my brother Lynn is 5 years older. So we're spread out. And then, anyway, so when my sister Valoy graduated from, well, it's Utah State University now, but it was the Agricultural College at that time.
Wait, the Aggies?
Yeah. She got her degree and she became an airline stewardess. First, only airline stewardess from Logan, Utah. I mean, and she went over to Denver to learn how to be an airline stewardess, and she did that for 5 or 6 years.
So was it like a big deal?
Yes, a huge deal.
Was everyone like excited or did someone not like it?
And when she would come home to visit, I think I was in kindergarten or something, or first grade, the teachers would want her to come over and talk and tell the kids where she'd been, because she went all over the world to, like, Japan and China and France and England. And she would, on the airplane, this is all they gave on the airplane, a little tiny roll of lifesavers, probably had 4 or 5 lifesavers.
Lifesavers.
And a little package of gum, like Chiclets gum.
Chiclets?
Or, you know, the gum that has... Anyway, they were called Chiclets. And 2 pieces of gum. That's all they got on the plane.
A roll of mints.
That was if you flew in the States. If you went outside the States, then they gave you food and stuff. Mm. But it was very interesting, and she was very... it was amazing for people to hear that someone from Logan, Utah had been to all these different countries.
Because, I mean, it's kind of like when you live in Logan, you just kind of stay in Logan, right?
Yeah. Huh. But both my sisters, well, all 3 of my sisters went to college. My brother went to college. And I didn't go to college until I was in my 40s. And I was working at Utah State, and I got to take classes for free. So I took a class, there were a quarter system now, then, but there's semesters now. I would take
Do you want to sit down and I can stand?
No. I took a class a quarter, and I took enough classes that I finished my freshman year. But it took me 5 or 6 years to do that.
So...
And I always took business classes because I was a secretary, and so I took a lot of business classes and shorthand, and then I'd always take computer classes when computers came along.
Oh, yeah, you said
along.
That you were, like, really fond of... Oh, let's go into, like technology stuff. So, how old were you when, like, the first computers came out?
I was probably... They had these classes at night at the high school, and so when my kids were little, I would go and take classes, and most of the time I took a knitting class, I took a crocheting class, I took a shorthand class. I was never good at shorthand.
What's that?
I'll show you. Then I took speed writing, which was easier because you use letters of the alphabet, but now they have computers that you can type so fast and recorders, so you don't need shorthand. But then they came out with a computer. How old was he? I was probably 36, 7, 8, somewhere around there. I took my first computer class, and it was so amazing to me to see what a computer could do. It was just amazing. But we learned how to type on typewriters. Remember I showed you my typewriter?
Oh,
and
yeah.
You were so amazed because you could hit a key and it showed up on the paper.
That was cool.
I've got it out in the garage. I had to get it out for you and let you take it back to school and show kids what
so
a typewriter
cool.
is.
Yeah,
but some people...
We all like know what it is. It's just like, it's still kind of cool because it's just like confusing because it's like with a computer, you hit the key, but it's like the button that's controlled to it, and it's like each button is assigning something, so it's just different that like you actually have to put it down, the clank like imprints it.
Yeah, and when I was a teenager, I took type classes. You had to learn how to do
wait typing for the typewriter or the computer?
The typewriter.
Mm.
And some of my friends could type 120 words a minute. I was lucky if I could get 60.
Me. I can't.
And so that, my mom would let me stay with neighbors, and I would walk to the high school, and you took them in the daytime in the summer. And then I think I took some in high school. But when I was a teenager, I got a job as a car hop. A car hop is...
Oh, my mom was a car hop.
I would take the food out to the cars on little trays, and they'd hook on their window. And I did that for like 3 years. And I think
from what ages?
Probably a sophomore in high school. Until,
oh, so it was like your high school job.
Yeah, my high school job. And I think we got paid 65 cents an hour.
No.
And when I babysat, we got 15 cents an hour. 15 cents. And when I attended kids in
high... Was that like a lot or was it like medium wage?
Well, that's what everybody got. And then when I got in high school, I got a quarter an hour, 25 cents an hour. I mean, we begged people to let us tend our kids. That's the only way you could make money. And our parents didn't have money to give us. I always was poor. Farmer kids are poor. My dad could have worked in the winter to make more money, but he just usually didn't. He had sheep, and we brought our horses in that he'd take care of and stuff. But a couple of years he worked as a bartender, which wasn't a good thing because he liked to drink. But anything else?
So for the car hop.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what place you worked at?
It's called Nog's Drive-In. He was a friend of my sister Joy's husband, Ray, was his friend. And Nog was also a coach at the college. And so that's how I got hired, because he knew my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd probably work maybe one or two nights a week, and then a shift on the weekend, and they were closed on Sundays.
Was the money yours, or did it go to your family?
Oh, no, it was mine.
Okay.
It was mine, yeah. And my brother worked. He used to set up pins in the bowling alley. Somebody would bowl and knock the pins down, and then they'd have to clear the pins away and make sure they were set up the way that they'd knocked them down. And then
like by hand?
Yeah, by hand. And then they had a thing that was up above that they would put the pins that had been knocked down in, and then they'd roll their second ball and knock whatever pins down, and they would have to put them up in the rack and then manually take a lever and set the pins on the bowling alley. And then they'd have to stand out of the way like this, so when they threw the balls down...
So wait, they were still on like the lane...
Yeah, they were
at the end of the lane. I thought they'd give them like a booth or something.
Huh?
I thought they'd give them like a booth or something to stand in.
Oh, no. They don't have money to do that.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's good stuff.
But yeah.
That's funny.
I forgot that he did that. He and his friends did that, and they made more money than car hops. It was a little more dangerous job. But nobody made $1 an hour.
Well,
everybody
like
was
adults.
Under $1 an hour. Sometimes even the dollar. I think when my mom worked at a cafeteria, I think she made 85 cents an hour.
Gosh, that's insane.
So it's very different.
Yeah. Okay, I only have a couple more questions, or just two, actually, not a lot. I'll cut out the rest. What were your outfits like, just compared to now?
You were not allowed to wear pants to school. We had to wear dresses.
Well, the guys were, right? Or
the well, girls? Yes, but I mean the girls.
Funny.
And we wore our shoes. We got one. Okay, let me tell you this. In grade school, this is probably, I remember being in third and fourth and fifth and sixth grade better than being younger. But we got two dresses. One for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the other one Thursday, Friday. And then you had clothes that either were old dresses or pants that you'd wear on the weekends. And then you had a Sunday dress that you wore. And then...
Did you wear the Sunday dress all day or just to church?
Just to church, yeah. But we had a church in the morning and one at night. So we usually stayed in our dresses till I got older. But anyway, and then at Christmas, we'd get two more dresses. So then we had four dresses. But you always wore one dress 3 days and the other dress 2 days, unless you just got it dirty or something.
And then the Sunday dress would be...
Just something nicer. Mm-hmm. Maybe have ruffles or something.
And then the boys just wore, like, what, slacks? And then...
Yeah, some kids wore coveralls, overalls, you know?
That was popular.
And then we had one pair of shoes. Our play shoes were old shoes. And then you wore your shoes, and they were stitched around the bottom, stitched the sole on. And if the stitching wore out, the shoes would flap.
Oh, they're like bowling shoes where it's flat, like the
and so I can remember my shoes would flap. But I wore my shoes out because I played so much hopscotch. I mean, I'd get home from school and me and
hopscotch
my friend.
Hopscotch queen.
Play hopscotch. But in the winter, oh my God, we'd build snow forts and snowmen and have snowball fights and yeah. And if the roads got really frozen, my dad would had a pickup.
Bless you.
And he would tie our sleds to the back of his pickup, and he would take us down the road. And when he got to the corner, he'd go fast, and our sleds would go whoosh around the corner. And that was fun. But we'd ride our sled. My friend had a little hill in front of her house, and we'd play in the road constantly. Because there wasn't, not everybody had
I feel like there's
cars.
So many opportunities for me not to exist in all your stories. Dangerous they are. It's
what?
Worrisome. You know.
You can't exist in my stories?
Yeah, because if you died in like a bunch of them, because all your stories are so dangerous.
There was no, people didn't have cars. I mean, my family was unique because my dad had a pickup for the farm and a car. So we had two vehicles. Most people had one.
What was gas like?
15 cents a gallon.
That was a lot back then, though.
Mm-hmm. But people only made, my dad probably made $9,000 a year, you know. And he'd sell these crops and that put it in the bank. And then he had to just take out enough each month to make that last for a whole year. But then he had to spend that money to buy more stuff to plant in that, so it's a very meager existence. But when my mom worked, that helped and
okay.
Stuff.
So, one last question before we go. Dang, we've been at this for 38 minutes. Un momento. Okay. For your great-great-grandchildren listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them? What would you want them to know?
Great-great-grandchildren?
Like, if you could say something to your great-great-grandchildren, if there's some kind of, like, advice or wisdom or whatever, like, one piece.
Be kind to everyone. Always be kind. And if you see somebody that you can, like, hold their hand to help them, or if you've got an extra, little extra money and you can see somebody that's at the cash register counting out, I mean, I've done that before. I'll say, I'll pay for that. You know, just let them have it and I'll pay for it. One day in the grocery store, there was a little guy and he was looking at paper towels, trying to decide. I says, don't you know which kind to buy? And he says, well, Albertsons has them two for something. But if And so, but I have to walk all the way over to Albertsons. And so I pulled $3 out of my wallet and I says, here's $3. You buy your paper towels here and you won't have to walk over to Albertsons. And he was so appreciative. You know, you can find those things even nowadays because there's a lot of people that don't have very much. But just always be kind and try and do something nice for somebody every day. That's what I think. And always be kind to animals. And always love your family and your grandkids because they're the light of my life. My grandkids, when they come to visit me, I'm so excited to see them. And of course, my daughters, I love them and I love their husbands and Kimber. And I think family is really important. But, you know, my mom taught me that about being kind, and she always went out of her way like to help that Native American lady. I mean, I just, that, you can tell how much that impressed me. But I think that's just, if everybody could just be kind to everybody, we wouldn't have wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Savannah.
Well, thank you. Gosh, I dragged you. No, it was perfect. All right, so
no, I can't talk.
Tamara Atkinson and Savannah Stevens. And
the end.
The end.